Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everybody, before we begin, let's mention the fine work being done at Ambassador Cycling. I'm saying this one first because, you know, somebody's not here. You know that you can go faster if your bike fits you properly, right? You do know that you're eyeballing your position based on how things fit in 1987 is likely making you slower, not to mention making you more sore, right? Yeah, well, get to AmbassadorCycling.com today. Book some time with the one and only Bike Fit Sam. Your bike, body, and speed will thank you. Not the drug, but your speed, your velocity. Also need to thank the fine folks at Scratch Labs. You know your important proper fueling is, right? Look, listen to me asking all these rhetorical questions. Well, Scratch Lab has you covered. From drink mixes, fuel energy, fueling, full energy fueling. I screwed that up last week, too. And brilliant bars and gummies to get the best source of feed zone recipes out there. You can't go wrong with Scratch. Click the link at PackFiller. When I say this, click the link at PackFiller, I do want to make it known that, yeah, we make a few shekels, but it also lets these sponsors know that you found them through us. So do us a favor and do that. Click those links. Lastly, fellow products. You a coffee snob? There's another one. How about just a good old appreciator of the hot bean juice? Well, follow Fellow Products has you covered to ensure your expensive coffee tastes like it should. From grinding and brewing to keeping it hot or cold, Fellow takes care of the entire process. Check out our link at packfiller.com. Notice how I brought one more check at our link at packfiller.com. So let's do this. Fiendslow. For the first time.
First time.
Fiendslow. Yeah. It's playing in the right place, but it's really quiet. Wow, who'da thunk? Well, it's Tuesday, the beers are poured and the mics are hot. Cross is here, as so are the worlds. In other words, we have plenty of stuff to talk about. Welcome to Life on Two Wheels. Welcome to the Pack Filler. I am your host, manning the console. But I've hidden it all. Remember when we first started in here and everything was on top? Mm-hmm. It was just like this gigantic wired monstrosity. And then I think, Paul, you were the one that told me, it was like going, it's really, there's a lot of shit on top of the bar. And so over the years, I slowly got things underneath.
But we want to see as much as a rim break bar as
That's
we can.
True.
You spent a lot of time on this beauty.
God. Yeah. Pouring this cover, this coating, this has nothing to do with bike racing, but pouring this covering alone, I had to wake up every 4 hours to pour a new coat on. It's kind of fun. It's not level, as you can see, but, you know, I'm going to pick out the flaws because I hate myself. With me are a slightly truncated panel, but experts ranging from young and hopeful to old and cynical. Let's see who's here. I didn't insult anybody on that. Nope. Jackson could be young and cynical. You could be old and hopeful, Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he meant.
Gentlemen, when I call your name, please respond with a band or artist that you are currently listening to that you really enjoy, that you're willing to admit, holy shit, I am totally digging Adam Levine right now. Because
what?
I'm joking. Because okay. If you've seen the press about Adam Levine right now, he's in a lot of trouble. He's been cheating on his wife for a long time. And then on top of it, she was a Victoria's Secret model. And on top of it, he wanted to name his new kid after the woman he was cheating on her with. Douchebag!
That's pretty rough.
Right? It's
That's just the dumbest I've ever heard.
Sorry,
that's
honey.
So
I was cheating on you with Christy.
Hey, but this kid.
The new
kid's name her
with
Christy.
Yeah. And she just looks at me and goes, fuck you, man. Oh, at least I'm not the dumbest person out there.
Yeah.
I'm striving for greatness. He's the guy that you curse on rolling hills. Mr. Paul Main. How are you, man?
All right. I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Doing okay. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's what a liter of beer does for you.
Explain what's sitting in front of you.
It's a Moss, M-A-S-S.
Okay.
Or, yeah, anyway, that's 1 liter of beer, and it's Oktoberfest started this weekend over in Munich.
Yeah.
München.
He's got the
T-shirt. Yeah. And I was there in 2014, and my wife's uncle bought me this Moss, and my wife found the beer that... to the tent that we went to is Augustina. And so I just thought, hey, that's I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to drink a liter of Augustina tonight.
Nice. So. Wow, that's cool.
Very nice. And it's, I need to explore the different barware, you know, the different glassware. You know, here I have kind of a fun tradition that I started 2 weeks ago where I'm making a different cocktail on Fridays for my wife and I. Mind you, it's a really expensive hobby because you're just like, oh, I need gin. Fuck! And then you buy gin. Or I need, you know, this other ingredient or something like that. But it's fun and all the different glasses it comes in. And mm-hmm. and beer is the same way. If you look around the bar, I've been learning from you, primarily you, Paul, mm-hmm. about the different the different glasses and things like that beer come in. And it's fun. And now we've got this gigantic Moss in front of you.
You got one right there.
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one mm-hmm. came from my dad. Yeah, so there we go. Mm-hmm. What is your band or artist that you're really into right now?
Well, I kind of step back in time. Stevie Ray Vaughan. I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, so I've been listening to a lot of him. Although I did come in humming a little Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, exactly.
But through the last couple of weeks have been Stevie Ray Vaughan. So. That's what I was humming.
I don't know what he is really singing. Except the read-through or something like that. The end of the read-through.
Which Life isn't a read-through.
Which is a theater thing, and I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. So, yeah, cool. Right on. Second of all, he's the guy you curse on just about everything else. Not just Rolling Hills, but everything else. Mr. Jackson Bolger, how are you, man?
I'm all right. Yeah. Thanks, yeah.
Yeah. Are you gonna go full Harry Styles on us, or are you going to pick something else?
Well, I mentioned Jack Harlow last week, and the only other person I really listen to is Harry Styles.
Really?
Yeah. So, if I were to recommend another one, the Black Keys have an endless catalog that I think is that never really tires.
You turn me on to the Black Keys, and I like them.
Well, yeah, and they're really good. I really like them. They're still making music, kind of doing things a little bit differently though, which I like. Went a little bit more indie, but I think if I, it's not those two artists, the Black Keys, I'd hop from.
Which is a wide variety. Of music, so I'll give you credit for that. You know,
thanks.
And you're not the Adam Levine years. I remember when you were a little, you were a Maroon 5 fan.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
you know,
he was like four.
We all have those bands that hold a special place in our hearts. You know, Maroon 5 for me is that, and still is that. Every time I hear one of their songs, I mean, it's tough with current time. Every time I hear a song in the radio, I'm always like, I do kind of like it.
Don't name your next child, your first child, Adam.
Yeah, well, if I was religious, it'd be okay. But not after the pop star.
There we go. Yeah. Me, I'm the guy you just want to shut up. I'm Pat Bolger, my band. I'm listening to these days. They're actually an artist, and I was getting my hair cut. The person cutting my hair actually said, have you listened to J.D. McPherson? I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy. His music's kind of like that, kind of a 50s style, almost like
rockabilly
type? Kind mm-hmm. of Elvis vibe almost to it. But he's cool and he does some really kind of stuff. It's like blues based rock and he's really cool. And I've been kind of into it lately. By the way, Jackson, I'll admit Phil Collins was my childhood thing. I had a lot of Phil Collins problems back in the day, but I still love him. I do.
Yeah.
I still listen to him.
That's my Maroon 5.
Yeah. Phil did get a divorce. I do remember that. I don't know if it was with a Victoria's Secret model.
Well, Adam's on his way.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time. The air is cooling and comfort food is starting to call. So here's where I ask the question. Who's riding and how has your ride week been?
I'll go first. I didn't ride and it felt awesome.
You didn't ride the whole week?
No, it felt so great.
You ghosted us on the text streams. I do want to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like, I'm just not going to reply.
I mean, that's what I do though.
Go away.
That's kind of what I do though. I feel like I only text like I am. I only text when needed, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't ride after the week before. I caught a little stomach flu and then that last week of work was really hard, and mm-hmm. so I thought to just not do anything all weekend, and it was awesome. And I'll start, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I'll probably indoor ride starting this week, just because, you know, when you work long hours nowadays, it's just like you don't have time to get out in daylight anymore and ride, so
yeah,
might as well fit what I can in for the weekends, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah,
but now, yeah, and I'm gonna ask you guys about some of that indoor stuff here soon. No, yeah. But yeah, I'm the same way. Paul, have you? You were just like,
I did. As you know, we had a tragedy in my family. So, for those who don't know, most people don't know. My little brother died on a mountain bike crash, and he had brain bleed and died. That was a couple weeks ago. We had his memorial service on Friday. And I thought I was going to be able to make it. I just didn't, you know, kind of measured out the grief a little bit.
Sure.
So, and then last night would have been his 57th birthday. So we had a party at one of his daughter's house in Coeur d'Alene. So, yeah, it's, you know, usually I don't mind going out. It's good to do something other than to kind of mope and feel sorry for yourself. But, this week. Not going to happen, but I'm ready now.
Yeah.
Because on the way back from Coeur d'Alene, all I did is think about is I'll get back on the bike, you know, stuff.
Morning. It's true. There is a time. There is a period that you need to just kind of, you know, even it.
Ron, you know what it's like when you lose a sibling. It was harder than my dad who died in 2015.
Yeah.
And for all my siblings, too, it's just a little different.
Yeah. You guys doing okay, though?
Yeah.
I mean, as can be.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not to make this downer, it's kind of strange when you're grieving with other people that, you know, at that level, that know him at that level. You know, my brother, so his daughters, his wife, you know, my siblings and my mom. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you just kind of let it all out.
Yeah.
And it was better than sitting at home and just staring out the window going, you know, so,
I just, the few times I've experienced that, I remember that sometimes, as you know, for example, I don't want to be like my dad and just go, I'm going to associate it with the story of my life. But that's, it's so hard to not
you
do
should,
that.
Because, yeah, you share because the same
I remember
pain.
At one point in time, we were sitting at my sister's house and all of a sudden my uncle appeared on the back deck. And he was just putting down beverages, soda, beer, wine, and stuff like that, and some food. And he wanted to not be seen.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to drop it off and walk away. And I don't know. I looked at him and I waved, and he shook me off. He was like, no. And he just wanted to leave because that integral group, sometimes you just need to be
together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just not experience it, but just sometimes just say nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's yeah, so
yep. But now it's time to go forward.
Now it's time
he would have liked forward. That,
yeah, really.
Oh, yeah, good. He was a fighter.
Right on, man. Well, I know we did this at the pub, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prost.
Yeah. We didn't get a chance to do it on the last show, so there we go. Right
to
on.
Brian.
Yeah, to Brian. Yep. Yeah. Shit, I rode twice this week.
Oh, you lucky duck.
Yeah, I...
It's a good thing Sam isn't here because he'd be going, yeah, I did this and this and this and this. And then I got sick.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. They were not anything grandiose. They weren't anything of pride. I didn't hit any huge numbers. I think it was Tuesday last week, I came home and it was still nice outside. This time of year is just fucking heaven around here. Mm-hmm. And I just shot out for about an hour, maybe an hour. And then on Sunday, I got out for a few hours and just pedaled. And I titled the actual Strava ride. I said, wow, it's really easier without teammates. Because I didn't have any of you fuckers going super hard. Just like going, ah! I'm just bleeding through my eyeballs trying to keep up. But how about you guys? What's your motivation to train? Jackson, you mentioned indoors. Is it just quote riding unquote for now? Are you just riding, or is there something beyond? Are you thinking about anything in particular for the remainder of this year, or is it just kind of a maintain and then start building at a specific time?
Yeah, I think for me, it's really just maintaining anymore. There's really no more events, you know, to look forward to until next year. I mean, for right now, I'll probably start maintaining until the end or mid-January, and then I think I'll really start to...
Oh, that long. Yeah. Okay.
I have fitness that I'm pretty happy with right now. Yeah. So... Like I said, just maintain that until mid to late January, and then if I really pick it up, I hope to really, really target RC3 this year. Got some grand plans when it comes to that race. But yeah, I think that's all I'm really doing anymore. It's weird to get into that mental state of, oh, really, just don't really, you know, don't have to build anymore. It's just riding. I'd be happy once or twice a week, and then ride hard on the weekends, and
really
that's it, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it's that time of year.
I'm terrified of that monster over my shoulder going, eat. Enjoy life. Another glass of whiskey, chubby.
I'm just like, oh fuck.
We have 3 pounds.
We have the holidays coming up, so I guess that's something to kind of look forward to, you know.
Yeah, it's a bad time for me, really bad time for me. Paul, you got anything going on the remainder of this year, or is it just kind of a maintain and have fun?
I'll try and ride weekends since it's getting dark. You know, it's not
time.
Much. Yeah, and I after 4:30, it's the only time I can ride, and it's not. It's like done. Weekday, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So probably my wife wants to get back to running. I might do small runs, but a lot of stairs. I do want to do a lot more yoga. And then I talked to Sam too, is like, you know, some finding some exercise, because one thing that I found out in my TT, my left glute and my left hamstring are very weak and feeble from like 11 year ago crash.
Yeah.
When I tore my hamstring. And so... just kind of work on those points and then try and lose weight too, because I gained my COVID weight and lost a few, but not all of it.
Since I got you on that topic, Sam did mention, we wish Sam was here, by the way. Sam is not feeling well, and he'll be back with us hopefully in a couple days. Wink, wink. He talked about PT and about doing it consistently, not just doing it with injury based systems. And I had never heard of it that way. I had never thought of saying physical therapy, and not to belittle anything, is almost like mental therapy. It's a continual process. Have you ever, am I the only one who's coming to this realization that sometimes it's a process that you just keep doing?
Well, I think for me, it's like, I think, especially as you get older.
Yeah.
you know, your muscle just declines big time, you know, and that's where I can carry as much fat as I do and weigh as little as I do. When
much
I weighed
fat as you do,
I seriously, Jesus. I'm compared to what, you know, where my weight was when I was 27 and I was like 4.9%. I was tested 4.9% body fat at 167 pounds. Now I weigh at 165 and I can guarantee you I'm probably a good 15% body fat, but you lose your muscle mass. So, and that's just lack of not working out or doing things. And I think as you get older, and I might be incorrect, but I think you really have to stay. You don't have your time off. You have, if you want to do well, you're going to have to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
So.
And that's like when Jackson, you mentioned January, I was like, holy shit, if I did that, I would be 20 pounds over heavier than I am now. Now, mind you, that's probably just kicking back and shitty diet and alcohol and you know, and things like that. But I, if I were to take, you know, just kind of take it easy, I'd be fucked. And so enjoy the ride, man. And I don't mean that as a condescending bullshit of an old man saying, oh, you kids these days. But, oh, you kids these days. You know, it's fucking awesome.
Well, I think that it's also really important to have that time off. I think.
Oh, yeah.
Especially mentally. For me, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was about to say mentally. And as somebody coming off of, I know it's been a while, but, you know, coming off of a sport like soccer where it's really hard on my mental state, you know, that was
year round too.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
was constant.
For lack of a better term, I mean, there is like a, like trauma in your head where you constantly get into that mind state of like, if I don't train, I'm not good enough, you know?
Yeah.
Taking that time off is really good to just kind of take a breather from the sport and not put so much pressure on.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree. How about new gear upgrades, new bike, new components, anything like that? You guys got any dreams or plans like that over the season? Oh, Jackson, you're nodding.
Yeah, well, I got hit by a car and my shoes did too. So.
Oh, yeah. Your shoes got hit. They specifically were aiming for those white giant shoes.
Yep, they were aiming right for those. I think I'll probably get, or at least hope to get, a new pair of shoes. I'm really looking at Shimano. They came out with a new pair of shoes in the past week.
That's so weird. Your fixation on Shimano shoes.
You know, if it's good for Wout Van Aert and it's good for Jonas Vingegaard, I think I'll probably be okay with it.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
But also knowing me, I do my research on that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I'll probably look for a new helmet. It's been 3-4 years at this point, so just re-up like you did this year. So.
Yeah. Paul, got any dreams of new gear at all
in
the pipeline?
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty set. I'll go through my bike. I'll break it completely down, check everything. It's time. My bearings on my aluminum wheels, which I use in the wintertime, needs new bearings, and I'll just, you know, do maintenance stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's no need to change any of my equipment. I just got a new helmet, like.
Yeah.
Like 2 months ago or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So it's going to break my heart to ask you this, but should I just not ride the new wheels?
No, you got to break them in. Yeah. I meant to bring the glue, but I kind of spaced off.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Yeah. I got a new set of wheels. I can't adjust the camera so anybody can see them, but I put them on the couch.
You can see them behind Paul right now.
So they're comfy. Can you see them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can see them behind Paul. Yeah. So they're nice and comfy. They're happy. They're happy. They just want to go
get a bit of a van of white from Paul over there.
Doo-doo-doo-doo. Yeah. So me, I'm thinking I'm okay gear-wise. That new set of wheels, I was really happy with. I probably should go like you do, Paul. I should tear through everything. I should.
When's the last time you replaced your cables?
Shifter cables was when the shifter went bad, so a little over a year ago.
Uh-huh. Oh, you guys and shifter cables.
Yeah, but no, I think it's time to probably replace cables all across the board. Shifters, brake, and just start there.
Start just by a package.
I do have a new chain that I'm going to put on this winter.
You going to wax it?
I'm going to wax it. Jackson gave me an old little mini crock pot.
Never been
used. Now it's going to be a chain wax. My chain won't smell like beef bouillon or something like that. So I'm good. And it's going to be nice. And I'm going to upgrade that. How about as far as winter training ideals? I'm going to race. My goal is I want to do a race type of effort probably twice a month all winter long. which means I sign up for a Zwift or, and I'm thinking seriously about pursuing more on the RGT with Wahoo. Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. sponsor plug intentional, but you know, we might as well do it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of starting immediately is with a 4DP test. I was going to do one this weekend, but I'm getting a COVID booster on Friday, which means I'm going to feel like absolute ass on Saturday and Sunday. The boosters hit me so bad, I feel terrible. I'm like full-blown flu for at least 24 hours. Mm. So I'm really looking forward to fucking that.
Sounds like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, we won't be riding on Saturday.
Yeah, you guys probably can. I would love to be able to go like, holy shit, I didn't happen this time, but not realistic. It's going to fucking happen. But it's the only time my work is doing it. They're like, do it. And I'm like, okay. You know, they're not forcing me to do it, but I'm like, holy shit, it's free. Mm-hmm. Walk in there, jab, jab, done. I'm dying. You know, so my wife's doing it at the same time. She's coming into my work and doing
misery
it.
Misery loves company.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to watch movies, I think. Yeah. We're just going to sit back and watch movies this weekend.
Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Exactly. Not really, though. And,
No.
Yeah. I'm also going to incorporate at least 2 to 3 days of strength training all winter. I have to do it. With how my back started affecting and my shoulders were affected this year, it's really time to start incorporating a lot more of that strength and stretching. Do you guys stretch? Be genuinely honest. Do you guys stretch like on a daily basis before a ride, after a ride, or when you just...
I got out of practice of yoga, but that would be considered stretching. I used to do it at least once a week.
Really?
Yeah. Like even sun salutations, or if there was a you know, like my hips are tied to things like a dragon pose or you know, like pigeon and open up the hips and stuff. So.
Yeah, you're speaking a completely different language to me, but that's okay.
Yeah,
because I need to learn that. I do, and I've realized the importance of all that stuff. Especially, sorry to bore you with old man stuff, Jackson, but the importance of all that stuff, because it's just without that flexibility, it just starts to disappear.
When I meant to look, Gabriel Benjamin, who you interviewed, he had, because I subscribed
Yoga
to his
for
channel.
Cyclists. Yeah.
And he had like a hip just this last week. And I got to look at that, and I never did. But, you know, being time set they were.
Gabe's
for
a good dude,
week.
Man. Yeah. He's a really good dude. Gabriel, sorry. He doesn't like Gabe. Mm-hmm. Gabriel's a good dude, and he's got some cool shit. Mm-hmm. Jackson, do you stretch, or are you just like, living the privilege of youth?
Well, I was about to say, I might as well take advantage of it while I can.
Right on. You know? Good for you.
No, I, in all honesty, I haven't stretched since I played soccer, which was junior in high school. So it's been a while, you know? But yeah, I should. I feel it in my body, but you know.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. We've all realized that we got a lot of work to do, and this year we mean it, right?
Yeah.
Because this year's this year's Masters Nats, mm-hmm. and I'm going with you.
Yeah.
And this year's, you keep talking about River City Cycling Classic, so people know RC3 when you say RC3, it's River City Cycling Classic.
It's like
local race that is a big deal, and it's kind of cool around here. And you're getting married this year, which is gonna really, you know. You should have planned that.
Well,
better,
I said, it's I think planning a wedding, everybody puts so much pressure on it in their mind, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm not gonna have any time to do anything. But in reality, yes, it's a busy thing, but also you're just booking things.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to spend every single weekend getting your wedding together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it comes bits and pieces, especially with what we did with a year, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a stressful thing, but it's going to be fine. And I'll have time.
And in essence, you just basically show up the day wearing what you're supposed to wear, and you say, yeah, I do. And then you're done. And then you just have
that
a good
choice
time.
Of colors, what flowers to have, who sits at what
but
table.
But the day of, though, you show up and you say, yeah,
like, oh,
and I'm good.
And boiling points, like about the week before, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So the flowers didn't come in. We have to have our backup choice. And, and you're like, shit.
And I will.
Somebody's going to give us milkweeds from their backyard.
And I will.
I don't want that.
And I will admit, I'm more of a feminine male, which I'm fine with.
Absolutely. Metrosexual. So you got it for me.
You know?
That term is so
old. It's so old. And so I like to be involved with it a little bit more. But it's, you know, it'll be fine. I'll ride and I'll race and I'll do all of it.
Yeah. You picked a good one, too. Mm-hmm. You picked a good one. I did. Yeah. Hey, you guys, let's get to the headlines. Brought to us by our friends at Competitive Cyclists. You know their thoughts, our thoughts on the LBS. Use your local shops, but sometimes he fills a gap as he looks for the sound back he's going to do. Sometimes it just isn't the part, the size, the particular line that works for you. And that's when Competitive Cyclist comes in. Get to the particulars you need. Keep rolling down the road. Please use the link backfiller.com. As I said earlier, that shows them that we are the reason that you are there. So, news time. We got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're only 30 minutes into the show. But we started late, so I'm trying to truck things down and keep it short. I guess we aren't that best of buddies is the headline for the first story. After 2 years of supporting a men's domestic elite team that amassed more than 30 victories, Best Buddies International announced today that it would retire the Best Buddies Racing program effective at the end of the current 2022 contract. Best Buddies Racing were most dominant on the Criterium Racing season scene in the U.S., leading the men's team standing in the 10-race American Criterium Cup. The team secured the lead title in early September at the first event. And was part of the Bomarito Audi Gateway Cup. Wow, Bomarito, I should have pre-read my copy. Alfredo Rodriguez and Brian Gomez finishing third and fourth overall, respectively, in individual points competition. A quote from the organization of management said, Best Buddies will retire the racing team and shift its focus to building a more inclusive cycling community by engaging diverse perspective and new riders, while promoting our mission of one-to-one friendships, integrated employment, leadership development. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. But they are redirecting their resources from bike racing to bike riding with an emphasis, ready for this, on a new ambassador program, which will include Chris Froome and Tom Pidcock. This is from our friends at Cycling News. They learned the World Tour duo are scheduled to attend the Best Buddies Challenge event in Miami, Florida, November 18th, and a 75-mile event limited to 50 riders. So
they didn't put the price, did they?
No.
It's expensive. Really? It's an exclusive, really? Yeah.
50 riders, 75 miles, Chris Froome, Tom Pidcock. Oh. First reactions. Anybody got one? Because I got a fuck ton of them. I got a lot of first reactions, and I have some potential blame to point.
Mm. I mean, anyway? I think it's great to create a community and more inclusivity. But beyond that, I don't know if I really care that much.
Really?
Yeah. I think.
I mean, keep in mind, this is one of the biggest domestic cycling teams left.
You want to know what's real? What I find really interesting, though, is the fact that because I think Legion has taken over so heavily, mm-hmm. it's really just kind of focused our eyes all on that team. And so I almost, then that's why I say, why, like, I don't know if I really care that much, is because I don't know if I've really had the opportunity to learn about Best Buddies whatsoever. I mean, I always root for a Best Buddies or a Mike's Bikes whenever it comes to, like, watching, like, any sort of crit footage, especially, like, nationally. But it's just, it's almost, the crit scene I find really fascinating, but I also find kind of annoying because it is so drama-filled sometimes. but it's just, I think it's going to be sad that another team is going away and Legion is just going to continue to dominate, but... Oh, well, I guess that's how every sport has to go through. I think every sport has to go through this at least one time.
Yeah.
The Yankees, the Manchester United, all of them did it.
Yeah.
It'll happen here again.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I think they got their, I guess, money's worth or what they wanted to do. Best Buddies, the foundation wanted to do for exposure. And then kind of found their niche. And I'm trying to think where I heard this conversation. They interviewed one of the guys on the team. And these Grand Fondos, there's, I think, three or four of them.
Yeah.
They're very exclusive and very expensive. So it does, it's a fundraiser. They're switching from exposure to fundraiser. And and so it's like corporate type of thing. So, you know, these people are dumping tons of money. And you get to ride with Chris Froome and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's typical. People come and go. As the team, they may be able to find, you know, the structure of the team may find another sponsor, which hopefully they did very well this year. I mean, yeah, kind of overshadowed, yeah. Basically. Legion.
Yeah.
So, I think if any business out there wants to, since they're on the roll, they may find somebody, hopefully. You know, U.S. Cycling is not the biggest hotbed for exposure.
My first reaction was this corporate mentality, this elite, which the sport is, nature of just catering to these certain people and things like that. And yeah, there's a fuck ton of money about that. And it depends on, I guess, what the corporate mentality is, what they're striving for. What, I don't even know what Best Buddies does, sells, rents.
Owns, it's for mentally handicapped kids.
Okay.
They have a program for that. And,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So it's,
I don't have all the details, but in the distance, I know that
business model is in essence to raise money.
Fundraising for,
yeah,
for this Best Buddies is all about, I'm throwing it way out there, but I think it's, yeah, it's kind of like a Big Brothers, but with,
sure,
mentally handicapped,
okay. Okay.
People. So,
and correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure they ride BMCs too. Right?
I think they might. I'm
Do
not,
they?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm. I will say, however, that I'm Chris Froome with his quad lock on his fucking stem is, I just, it bums me out that is the, you know, I understand that is a way to make money. People are going to want to come and ride with Chris Froome, mm-hmm, but I don't think Chris Froome needs more money. And in essence, you're putting more bike riders out of business, out of a job to pay Chris
Froome.
Well,
who came to who? I mean,
yeah,
if they said,
I
you know,
guarantee you they, yeah, walked up to him and just said, hey, we got a blank check.
Yeah.
You want to come ride a Fondo? And he's like, yeah, basically, that's what
and
I
maybe
do.
He's doing it, you know, unless we have the information, not to bash you, but, you know, we don't know the,
yeah,
situation. He might have,
yeah,
just said, hey, I want to be affiliated with this. I'm going to look in long term,
sure,
for his exposure. Maybe he gets involved. Obviously, he's in the you know, towards the sunset of his career.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah,
you know, I think he's kind of feeling things out. So, I mean, he still has a name. Mm-hmm. Pidcock, be curious. I don't know what direction, you know, he's going. And,
yeah,
not saying I'm right about Chris, but I can kind of find some kind of direction there.
Talk,
yeah,
about two ends of the sport, honestly.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Beginning and young
end.
And the old.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this question? Is the U.S. crit scene too volatile right now? Is it becoming too much of a drama? Now, mind you, that might be a good thing. That might be a very good thing. You look at, you know, the NASCAR mentality, where you've got drivers who fucking hate each other, and people thrive on that. You know, it's like the Bachelorette on wheels.
Yeah.
Is the USA crit scene? Do they benefit from this drama, or is this hurting them?
That's an interesting question. I think. Recently, I think we've been seeing a lot more drama that does affect them in a negative way, I find. You know, with physical, mm-hmm, altercations, I think that is probably the worst way,
yeah,
you can get,
yeah,
your name into the world. but I also, you know, I would also really like to see, for instance, I mean, we talk about Peter Sagan a good amount because of me. but I would really like to see, like, a rider like him come through the U.S. crit scene and see what he does. Because, honestly, I think that, like, I think a World Tour pro kind of needs to come through and kind of show these guys, like, this is really what, like, the top, top, top level is like.
Yeah.
Because I think that there is, like, not to say that these guys aren't unbelievable athletes, because, oh my goodness, they are. But I also think, like, sometimes they need to be shown, like, there's another world out there,
yeah,
that isn't just getting pissed at each other and calling each other out on social media.
Yeah.
Funny you should mention it, because number one beast, I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. The
nation's number one beast.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, they just released a short, like, 4-minute film of Corey Williams doing the Commonwealth Game road ride. And it'd be worth a watch for those people. He got his eyes open. Not that he thought he was going to do well, but he's like, oh, man, these guys. I mean,
it's another level.
Yeah, it is another level. And it's a different type of racing. It's a circuit race.
Yeah.
Crit racing is, you know, an hour, hour and a half. I mean, full gas, on the edge type stuff. So I think there's a lot of guys that raced in Europe and came down to the U.S. crit because they didn't, you know, kind of like couldn't make it there or didn't like living in Europe and away from family for whatever reason. So, I mean, crit racing is, I think, could really kind of rejuvenate cycling back in maybe the 80s.
Yeah.
Speaking of another film, as GCN just put out one and you'd be interested in, and it's Alex Steeda talking about the start and 7-Eleven team. And it's... So it takes it all the way back and how it got started as an amateur team and stuff. So I think that exposure is good. I think that I don't really like the crit beef stuff. I've never got off on that. I think cycling has such a bad name in this country that it becomes a laughing stock. It'd be one thing, you know, when you see like on NBA, there's a couple of rivalries you see going on and they have that conflict, but it's established as a sport.
Yeah.
As opposed to cycling is like this, well, what the heck is this? You know, there are those bastards that get in my way of when I'm driving my one ton, you know, dually.
Yeah.
Roll
coal on your ass.
Yeah. So, you know, when you look at like what happened downtown Criterium we had and how many people came up to me afterwards that I knew that, yeah, I saw you race bikes and then they went down there or happened to come across it. Like, when is that going to happen again? That was so cool because of the energy. I mean, it's more of a spectator sport. I don't know if it transfers because they're trying to transfer it on TV even. It doesn't really work unless you're a hardcore cyclist.
Yeah.
But if you get people to come down and watch, I think then it'll be a good thing. But they don't want to see guys in, you know, carbon-soled shoes trying to swing at each other and...
You know. They're slipping all over, trying to get their balance.
Swinging like a girl.
Exactly. Second story, this is going to be a quick one. Team building, anyone? In case you didn't know, Adam Yates will leave INEOS Grenadiers at the end of the season.
What a signing.
Moving to UAE Team Emirates from 2023. British rider who placed ninth at this year's Tour de France. I didn't realize he placed that highly. I apologize. I'm sure he's listening. joins the team of Tadej Pogačar on a 3-year contract. Significant strengthening to the GC squad following moves made last winter. According to Yates himself, quote, "I feel I'm entering my peak years as a rider, and the team will get the best out of me. I look forward to riding with many of the top riders in the world. And to contribute to the team becoming number one in the world." So thoughts on this move, thoughts on what this does to UAE, thoughts on Jackson's opinion on the Yates brothers anyway. Is this beginning of the UAE taking a Jumbo Visma type tactic to build a super team?
Well,
you can say that you think no Yates will win a Grand Tour.
I don't know if that's the point behind this.
No. Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy now. They've got, it's like, they're doing exactly what UAE, or not what UAE, what Jumbo Visma has.
Yeah.
It's like, they will bring a two-prong to the tour, knowing damn well that it's a one-prong.
Yeah.
Wow, that's I saw that this morning on my Instagram, and I was almost left speechless because that is such a signing that I think was really needed for that squad. You know, they've got Rafael Mica, they've got Mark Soler, but it's not...
How about the young guy that got third in the Vuelta?
Yeah, yeah. Iuso. Yeah. I think that's a... Yeah.
19.
Yeah.
He's 19.
They have a climbing squad.
Yeah, and I think this year Jumbo-Visma should not be as confident going into this tour, because I think they've got someone to now drop a venue go. Honestly, when we see when I saw that Yates would be pretty close behind Garrett Thomas the entire time, I don't know. I think this year is going to be probably one of the best tours we've seen in a long time if they're willing to bring if Yates is willing to play that domestique role,
not
for Pogacar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to offer him some apples, you know, along the way, where it's going to be like, hey, you know, you're our guy at the Giro.
I think he'll get the Giro,
yeah, or something like that. But
I think they're trying to. I mean, you can't let him go up the road because obviously he has the potential.
Yeah,
and that's what with the Roglic and Vingegaard this year. I mean, if you have a couple of guys with potential to win, as opposed to the old Ineos way, is we have one guy. And everybody works for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what card they're going to play, that guessing game. And you get somebody up the road like that. What's his name again? The young guy from that won the.
Juan Ayuso.
Juan Ayuso.
Yeah.
Juan Ayuso is up the road. They can't let that guy go either.
No.
It doesn't matter if he's going to be 20 years old at that time. I mean, now the way, in my opinion, the way Jumbo Visma raced. That put everybody like in a big question mark. You know, I mean, from kilometer one, everybody talked about it was just full gas the whole time.
Yeah,
and Jumbo Visma always had somebody in the break, and somebody to come back and help or carry food back. You know, when they got to the meat of the stage. So, I mean, you start fighting fire with fire is what they're doing. Is what. You know, UAE are doing.
Racing dynamic has changed so much over. It's almost like I don't want to say decade because it's not. It's like every 5-6 years, the dynamic of Grand Tour racing changes.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we go from the Lavie Claires to the who is that? The Benesto to
Postal,
you know, even Postal, and then we change again to Ineos Grand
Sky.
You know, Sky. Ineos. Yeah. And now we're looking at this different style of racing. By the way, this is a very exciting style of racing. Very similar almost to a Lavie Claire style, you know, when an attacking with multiple riders who could do it. And thank God it's back. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting to see how that dynamic shifts. And then you get everybody who does a copycat kind of a thing, and then it shifts again. So, you know, how is this going to evolve? It's going to be a very...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Interesting dynamic. Stage racing is such a beast within itself. With you know, with I'm kind of glad it's gone right now, even though I know the season's coming to an end. Because I just got tired of watching a day going, oh well, I guess I got to watch tomorrow because tomorrow's going to be more exciting. And then single day racing, a couple of them have come back, and I'm like, oh fuck yeah, this is the it. Best. There's nothing left. You know,
that's the reason why I'm so excited for the Worlds. One day it's on the line.
Yeah. Perfect timing, Jackson. Let's get to the main event. The Worlds are underway, full-time trial mode recently. Today, the juniors with Joshua Tarling of Great Britain. And by the way, my entire Twitter feed exploded because I am on a VPN based out of the UK. So everything was just like, everybody's happy. And Zoe Backstead.
She's awesome.
Women and junior men and women. This is her fourth rainbow jersey.
Wow.
Fourth. Whoa. Unbelievable. She's entering the Pro Peloton next year with EF First Easy Post.
Wow.
Which is going to be something else. I didn't realize that until somebody mentioned it today online that the women and the men junior distances are different. the women in the juniors are still doing a shorter distance, which I'm like, are you shitting me? Do the men and the women elite do different distances?
No, they did the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing it? Why are we still doing it?
That's whether it's a UCI rule or not. And yeah. That these are the, if it's brought up, that's good. And if it needs to be changed, it should be changed.
It should be changed.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of that people are like, that's not fair. But I don't know the ruling, but usually they kind of push it to that maximum, you know. So, yeah.
Cuckoo.
Yeah.
Because from what it sounded like is Zoe was actually, you know, mind you, she was a shorter distance. She was faster than some of the elite women in that first section of the course. I don't know if that
There's
tells
28
us.
28 turns per lap.
No shit.
Wow. 20, wow. So you look at, you know, Ghana, everybody's like, well, what happened to him? Well, you know, he might have had a bad day, obviously, but I mean, he's just grinding a big gear.
Yeah.
That no one can keep up with that power that he puts out. But when you have to stop and refire and, you know, or grab a line or, you know, it was different. So.
Well, Ghana could only imagine muster seventh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really happy to see that.
Yeah. Are you really?
Just a changing of the guard, because I think that this last year we've really seen him not decline, but not necessarily keep at the top with these riders. Mind you, I know you'll probably get to it, but there was a very large surprise when it came to the men's.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you're welcome to say it. You know, with Tobias Foss, am I saying his name right? Shocker. Over Stefan Kuhn and Remco Evenepoel. I love the... I think there's a meme out there just, you know, of... Not a meme. It's a video, short little video clip. I don't know what they fucking call that because I'm old. of him just... His shocked face of Remco just going, hey, what? What? He what? Who? Well, shit. You know, I think that's what was going through his mind, but in Belgium. So it was, you know, that blown away by this guy just coming out of essentially nowhere.
He had he helped Wout at Quebec. Like the week was a week and a half ago, whenever they had Quebec. Guy was up front the whole time. Yeah. He was a monster. And he's always had that potential, but I don't think I've ever seen it like that. I think his time trials are usually in the top 10. I mean, he's not like this came out of complete nowhere, but I think he just peaked, and he's very strong, and he peaked right, and I think the course seated him well. And unfortunately, Stefan Kuhn, that guy's been so,
He's the Bouledois of
TTs
this decade.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like, fuck, he almost got it.
I think it would have been cool if Remco did it too, especially coming right off the Vuelta. I was like, that would have been so cool to see him do that.
Yeah.
Ellen van Dijk, winner of the women's over Grace Brown of Australia and Marlon Risser of Switzerland. No surprise. Yeah.
That was
so fucking strong. Yeah. She is so fucking strong. I'm going to address the elephant in the room. Who watched? Paul probably did.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah,
did
I watched both of them. Yeah.
The whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I watched the men's live. The women's, I caught, I think the, I watched, I didn't see Van Dijk race, but Annemiek van Vleuten, I watched her. Yeah. She didn't look good the whole time. She just looked uncomfortable and stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, she didn't even finish on the podium. So.
Yeah, yeah. Was it Magnus Sheffield who crashed?
Yep.
Did you see that?
Yes. Mm-mm. Well, they didn't have it on tape, but it was just the word came out.
Yeah.
And who was announcing? It was Rob Hatch. He's like, we just got on Twitter that it crashed. We don't have any footage or anything because they can't control it, you know?
Somebody has it later. He comes around a corner and right into the barriers.
Yeah.
And it was a full flip. I don't know. Did he get up immediately?
Yeah. And he still finished in the top 10.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right.
The worst was Hader. He threw a chain and he still, he got fourth. He was like,
wow.
Which means he could have probably.
Yeah. He blamed Shimano and I'm thought, yeah, you know, and. Shimano. Yeah, like, but what happened was Shimano said, look at his chain ring. He had a non-Shimano chain ring. So he went from off the climb from his small ring up into his big ring and then threw it. And he couldn't get it back on. He had to get a bike change. So, but he was up there. He was going to podium at least.
Yeah.
So
that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys about now that we're shifting gears into the, you know, the worlds and into the road race that's just happening this weekend. There's been a lot of complaining about the travel distances. Is there too far to travel, or is this just a matter of perspective and are people being too big of wussies?
I think it's a matter of perspective.
Okay.
Australians have to travel to wherever the hell the race is. And so should Europeans. And as I always say, I think every racer of every bike race is the, or is or should be the best bike rider. And I think that this comes with being a professional cyclist or bike rider. And I think that this is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal. You can't complain about travel distance, because if you want the world, you got to race where it is.
Yeah. Paul?
Well, I see both sides. I kind of agree a little bit, but then, I mean, Australia is kind of isolated on that. There's, you know, other Asian countries, but Australia is probably the heavy hitter in the you know,
sure,
in that hemisphere. Mm-hmm. I've always taken the point where cycling is the root is Europe, and it kind of should stay there. But I do also want it to be a world sport, and the way to do that is you're going to have to travel from time to time. But
yeah.
I mean, it's, I think from Europe is at least, well, from the United States is 21, 24 hours to get.
Yeah.
That's a long time in an airplane.
Yeah.
And I think there, Europe is pretty close to that, or even more maybe in an airplane.
I think we're 31 hours behind where the road race is.
Time what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's.
Because the day, they're a day ahead of us.
It's a day ahead plus 7 hours.
Mm-hmm. We're almost. Wait, so we're 31 hours. Wow, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it
so
is.
So we're almost 3 days, right?
No.
Almost?
No, 24 plus 7.
Yeah.
7 hours.
So a day, plus 7 hours. Yeah, a day plus 7 hours.
The cool thing about it, though, is that the races are going off at like 4:30, 5 o'clock our time, Pacific
PM.
Time.
Yeah. That's one of the questions I was going to ask you.
That's why I can watch it, you know?
Technically, it's going to go off around 5 o'clock p.m. our time, locally, here on the Pacific Northwest time. And it's going to end around 11 p.m. locally. Now, that's Monday night, and you know, most of us have to go to work the next morning. Willing to stay up?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to stay up. I think I'm gonna be an idiot and go to work feeling horrible the next day. It's the first time I truly think I can watch a bike race without feeling guilty of day drinking.
Yeah,
there you go.
Or morning drinking. I will taste beer, not coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a wonderful thing.
Speaking of the time, so what is it? I watched the TT, the men's TT. I mean, we're out from the get-go.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep halfway through.
You did.
And then I woke up and I got to watch. I mean, I saw Foss, you know, and then I'm just like drifting in and out. And then, you know, of course, the heavy hitters started coming towards the end. And then adrenaline is pumping and everything.
Was that 10 or 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah. And I think it went till past midnight, if I remember.
Oh,
so,
shit.
The
course, biggest climb comes early. But then has multiple, obviously a loop, multiple repeated efforts of a climb called Mount Pleasant, which is 1.1K at an average of 8.8%. So let's just round it up or end down. It's a 1 kilometer climb at 9%. So anybody got any thoughts on what kind of riders can do well on this? Let's not talk about specific names, but is this a climber's course? You don't think so. Mm-hmm. Is this a sprint? Can a sprinter handle like multiple rounds of this type of a climb? What kind of a rider do you think is gonna master this? Men and or women. We don't have to say names yet, but
I mean, I think a classics rider definitely is of that ilk. So you know, like a I don't want to, without going into names.
Kind of a Liège,
you know?
Liège or a
Flanders style.
Flanders style. Okay. So we're looking at true classics kind of a field.
Liège has like Lake Cumming, you know, 12%, you know, Lara Dude and all those that really split. I mean, they're just like a wall, but 8%, still nothing to, you know, laugh about, but
yeah.
And at 1 kilometer.
It'll
but
wear
that's,
you down.
It's short enough. Yeah, it will. So, you know, people like, well, and I think even Alaphilippe, unfortunately, I don't think he has a have a chance, but I think that he could do well in that. Tadej Pogačar, obviously. I mean, those races in Montreal and Quebec, those two races probably mimic those who did well there. Costa Fra. Costa Fra is another potential. So, you know, those type of races.
I know, Jackson. He's naming names. And he was supposed to.
Oh, no, I'm okay.
You stuck to the rules, Jackson.
No, I'm okay with it.
I want you to know that I appreciate that.
I'm a rule follower.
I didn't say I picked him. I didn't say that.
So, talk about teams. We have our rosters here in front of us, and we've seen that now that this is based on UCI points, as we were saying before, Paul, you were saying before we went on air, is such a gigantic dynamic in terms of how teams are seated. We start with the women, and we look at the fact that Italy has how many 10. Fucking riders?
You said 10.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 10 riders. And then the Netherlands, quite arguably, one of the toughest teams in cycling right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 3 riders you can burn at your expense that the other team doesn't have the ability to
now
use.
Now, for the women, I think this is, if you look at, there's an asterisk on this. So I think the U23s, this has been a complaint. The U23 women are also racing with the pro women.
Sure. Yeah.
The pro women. So that, but you can use them in strategy. They can't split it up.
Yeah.
So it's like when we race 40s and 50-year-olds together, you know, it's like it's your duty to figure out who's in the break. And,
sure.
And mind you, there's no radios.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. The women's, to me, it's just a little spin on it all.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's fair to the U23s, but then the way the youth are nowadays, the Utes, the way the Utes are nowadays, they're pretty strong.
Yeah, right. Yeah. talk to me about men's teams. Is there anyone that seems to... I think, personally, Jackson, you can correct me on this, I think the Belgians need to make a decision. And they need, and they're gonna piss somebody off, and somebody's gonna be angry about it, and it's gonna be the same as last year, a Remco versus Wout.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think a very current Grand Tour winner is not going to be happy at the end of the day, but I also think.
So you think they're gonna go that way?
I do think that they're gonna go that way. I mean, I think that Wout is somebody who's probably deserved it over the past couple of years, but I also don't know if Remco is necessarily okay with that. I have a strong feeling that Remco would also prefer a Worlds, and I also think that with the type of course that it is, I don't think Remco is incapable of taking the top spot when it comes to this race, and I think they really should. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough call to make, but I really do think that they should look at the Jumbo Visma strategy, you know, and attack with both, and whoever comes out on top should take it.
We have had a lot, you know, this kind of course with this undulating little pop climb. Remco and his style of winning races has been to pop on one of those climbs and leave everybody behind.
Yeah.
Could this be kind of something like that?
Like San Sebastian.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Or Wout, who obviously can hang with just about anybody and roll into that final and have that type of a pop sprint. We are also not mentioning the elephant in the room, Tadej Pogačar, mm-hmm. who had a fucking brilliant ride in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To me, I think Tadej Pogačar is the star candidate for this race.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, especially watching him in Canada, I think with the sprint that he's got on him, especially coming up over a climb, that man's hard to catch.
Yeah.
Especially he has, in my opinion, one of those mentalities that is he will win everything and he believes that he will win everything. And I think that's a scary mentality of another rider.
How about Julian Alaphilippe with a chance to take a third Worlds? I just saw in both of your faces as I was asking that question a little bit of a grimace. Mm. Paul,
bit of grimace on my point. I think that he's... you know, he's had some bad luck and some crashes, and you know, at the Vuelta when he went down, mm-hmm. although he didn't, you know, get hurt, but he, you know, I mean, LBL, he got hurt, and mm-hmm. then he came back, he missed the tour, mm-hmm. and he comes back and he crashes at the Vuelta. It's like, oh god, when's it end? But mm-hmm. I do want to weigh in on the on the Belgian.
Please do. Please do. Okay. Oh, so Paul wants to weigh in on the Belgian?
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Well, I think this is good. Remco's there. I think as long as egos don't get in the way, I mean, you have Remco who can do a long shot. People have to chase. And, you know, Slovenia has only a few bullets. They don't have as many. And so with Wout sitting back, everything's okay. And then it's up to his team and other teams, other countries to chase down. Yeah. And if he gets it, he gets it. I mean, if as long as Remco, I mean, he's not going to win a pack sprint. He's never won the pack sprint. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the game that the Belgians have to play, you know. And so everybody has to chase. I mean, he's not going to just go from the gun, obviously. But whenever he launches, people have to and he can just ride people off the wheel. He's that Remco's that strong when he's on.
Yeah.
And so – and an 8% is not – he falters, it seems like. At 12 plus, you know, that's where he seems to like suffer.
And if the road turns to gravel.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But, and that's not the case here. So then we have somebody in the weight here. You got Wout who can stick with anybody. I mean, if Tadej just is all by himself, he can just sit in the whole time. And Tadej's just going to have to, just like what Jumbo did to him on stage 11 in the tour.
Yeah.
So.
I'm gonna be a little favoritist because I'm gonna reveal my cards a little early. How about Michael Matthews on home soil?
Yeah, there's certainly a possibility. I mean, this is he's a good sprinter. If he gets down to a few people, he's certainly gonna be the one to
pick.
And
he can handle that punchy shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that worries me about him is he can handle the punchy stuff, but I don't think there's a punch quite like Wout and Pogacar bursting together. I think that's that's an explosion that cannot really be contained.
Yeah.
Here's a statistic. Wout has never won a sprint with five people.
That's really
with
interesting.
Five.
Wow.
Yeah, there's around five. I can't remember.
Is that come from
group.
Dismount? Or
no,
is that
no, that wasn't Dismount. Our Killian Kelly of this group.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I heard it. Somebody said that. And there might have been Rob Hatch or something is like they were when and commentating is like he's never like and it might have even been Daniel Lloyd. Somebody did the statistics and said, when in a group of five or less, he's never won a sprint.
How interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
I wonder if he really benefits off a draft.
Yeah. And I think there's a little bit of overconfidence and he has a tendency, in my opinion, sometimes everybody's if you want to win, you have to go. So he spends a lot of energy. He knows that.
Yeah.
Or whoever's up ahead, or they're going to get caught, they will leave it for him to, you know.
He does a lot of stuff. Work.
He does lots of work. Yeah. So.
I think that's his main fall when it comes to the classic season.
Yeah.
Everybody knows he's got to work the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's willing to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Privilege of youth. All right, so let's dance, everybody. Let's. I believe in chivalry, so I believe we should go with the women's race first. Are there three riders you feel comfortable picking? If so, who are they? And maybe a little why we could probably say in terms of why did you pick those three, and why are they not from the Netherlands?
Oh, mine are all from the Netherlands.
Are they all?
No, right? I got one that is not.
Does anybody want to?
Really? Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay, Jackson, yeah.
So my first Dutch is is Annemiek van Vleuten. It's hard to look past her coming off of what really an incredible season.
Not to pick on anybody, but I think you'd be a fool not to have her on your list. I believe we're all going to cancel each other out. Yeah.
And then I will also pick Elisa Longaborghini because she won Roubaix, and that is like the hardest thing you can really do.
You're picking my girl.
I know.
Right? Yeah, okay.
But it's also, it's a one-day race, and you can never really look past her on a one-day.
Yep.
And then also, I think the next year's world champion will be Demi Vollering.
Oh.
Yeah, I think she's...
Really?
I do. I think she's dynamic enough of a rider that she can climb with the best, but she can also sprint as well. And so I think that's who will probably win, in my opinion.
She won, what, two stages in La Flamme?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Second overall with the climber's jersey.
I have two of the same.
I do, too.
Van Vleuten and Demi Vollering.
Oh.
I have that.
But I have two of the same.
My other one, and I think she this might be a course while everybody else is battling out. It's a U-trip at Ludwig.
Okay.
That would be so cool.
She is doing pretty well right now. Yeah. So.
I, too, have Annemiek van Vleuten. Mm-hmm. I, too, have Elisa Longa Borghino, because I will root for her until I keel over. And I have Alyssa Balsamo.
It's a good one.
But just the Italian team is so deep. The Italian team is so deep, and I think they have such strength. And I just think it's going to be their day. Yeah, in the
two Italians.
Right? Yeah, I picked two Italians. Yeah,
over some Dutch.
Mm. Yep, which is potentially a suicide mission.
Yeah,
because people are like, oh, bet against the Dutch. What is it like? Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line. Yeah, yeah. So that's basically where I am. For the men, and by the way, we will have to ask Jack and Bike Fit Sam, who are our Jack's seat is empty. Bike Fit Sam was kind enough to fill it in for a while. Both are not here. We're going to have to get their picks just so we can, hang something over them and go from there. And I'll post those online. And by the way, if you want to chime in on this and let us know what your picks are, we'd love to play the game. I don't know if we're going to do the punishment, but I still have to do a beer mile. And I'm going to do a beer mile. I think I should do an Oktoberfest beer mile.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Four beers. Yeah. 4 miles. I think I'm going to vomit all over myself.
I think you will.
That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. It could be an enjoyable thing. If you're into that sort of thing. If you get your kink on.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Gentlemen, for the men, Jackson, you want to continue to go first? Are you comfortable with that? So let's hear your guys' choices and why.
So I have a wild card to start us off. I think the man on form is Fred Wright. I think, and he would be awesome. I would be really happy to see him.
Love it if he won, so he could just go, hey,
I finally
Primos.
Won.
I didn't. I kept no straight on the finish.
Yeah.
That was the biggest fucking PR disaster of the entire year.
That was a rough
Primoz
call.
Roglic should have just shut the fuck up and stayed home, because now he looks like an asshole. And I don't think he's an asshole, but he looks like one. Sorry, Jackson.
No, you're good.
I vent.
Like I said, I think feels the man great. On form, he's always there at the pointy end of a breakaway. Yeah. And so I think that's
an interesting choice.
That, like I said, that's my wild card. I think to follow, I think Wout van Aert is really hard to look against. And then because I did this with the last one, who I think will be our 2022-2023 UCI World Champion, Tadej Pogacar.
Do you really?
There is a man that, like I said, he has the mentality like he will enter and win every single race that he races, and I think that is dangerous.
And he has so much fun doing it.
Yep.
Yeah, yep.
And he's got, I think, him and Roglic on the same team as well. That is a combination that I find to be very, very dangerous.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Are they?
Roglic is not on.
He's not?
He's not.
Oh, I thought he was.
No. Primožič. Jaka Primožič.
Oh, I must have seen that.
Yeah. No.
Roglic is done for the year.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. He's licking his wounds and creating tweets.
Either way, I
fucking
stand by
social
my...
media, man. You know, it's just like, just remember back in the days when you just go away and just kind of go, fuck, I'm mad. I'm like, I was saying last week when I yelled at my sister in the middle of nowhere on a residential street. Nobody recorded it. Nobody posted it and said Pat Bulger's an asshole.
Maybe but it's out there knew now. That.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially because it was a few blocks from my house. It was like, oh, the Bulger kids are being
there
I
go again.
Yeah, exactly. Paul, what are you thinking?
I went with Wout. I think he's really focused, and I think the strategy is going to come into play. Like I mentioned earlier, when I wasn't supposed to mention names, and then Tade.
Yeah.
I think he's a good backup. I mean, if anybody's going to conquer the Belgians, it would be him. But my underdog, and I went with Dylan Van Baarle.
Oh. Now,
He got silver last year in the Worlds.
He did.
He got second in Flanders, and he won Paris-Roubaix this year. So,
fuck. That's a good
pick. An option, yeah.
I'm going off my heart, and I'm an idiot. Because I, too, picked Wout van Aert. So, in other words, we've canceled Wout van Aert.
Did you have
I did have
all three of us picked him. I picked Michael Matthews because I've been rooting for Michael all year, and I think he's on home soil. I think he's got great form. I think he's ready. The Montreal race, but Quebec, the other one before that. Mm-hmm. I think he was top three in that one. So he's dancing. I think he's ready to go.
He's a top racer.
And I think he's gonna pull something off. He is my pick for UCI World Champion. By the way,
you think so? Really?
Yeah. And third, I'm throwing away a pick. I am throwing it out the window because Peter Sagan went online today and said, "How cool would it be?" And I think the smart-ass Peter Sagan is back, and that makes me think he's got some form. COVID kicked the shit out of him. Who gets COVID three fucking times? I mean, are you just French kissing everybody? but it made me think that the smart ass Peter Sagan is back, and he made a comment to the press the other day. It's like, how funny would it be if I won the world championships and retired from road racing and just went to full privateer mode or something like that? And I was like, oh shit.
If he wins,
I'm on.
If he wins the Worlds, I will cry in my living room floor, and I will film it for the world to see. So if anybody's wondering,
you heard it here first. Jackson will cry on his living room floor at Peter Sagan's fourth World Championships. It probably won't happen, but it would be really fucking cool. Yep. And I think this is my my Disney princess kind of a thing. You know, it's just like I'm just going like I'm wishing upon a star that Peter Sagan just gets one last big fucking day in the sun, and I just hope that's it because I've loved the guy from day one.
Yeah. If anybody deserves it,
I didn't like when he grabbed the podium girl's ass.
Yeah,
but you know, that was just youth.
Utes.
Utes. If you guys had a dream podium, top 1, 2, 3, would it be all three of your picks or would it be three different riders?
I think for me, it would be three different riders.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be Peter Sagan sitting on the top step with Tadej Pogačar second.
We're pie in the sky kind of a thing here. Yeah.
I'd have Tadej Pogačar second behind him and Julian Alaphilippe sitting third.
Oh, that's a good podium. Yeah. That's a good podium, Paul.
Well, Evenepoel and Lampard, all Belgian.
Wout, Evenepoel, Lampard. Oh, that's a good one. I would say Peter Sagan at the top. I would pick Julian Alaphilippe. Yeah. I wouldn't. I would go Michael Matthews second, Alaphilippe third, because I think that'd be a good podium. How about the women? Because I would honestly go first. I'd be like Mariana Voss, just because I fucking love her. Annemiek van Vleuten and Elisa Balsamo.
See, I'd have
Elisa. Yeah. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
I'd have
Longo Borghini. Shit. Balsamo and Longo Borghini. I got them mixed up. That's a horrible insult to Italians.
I think Mariana Voss would sit top step for me. Lizzie Deignan, if she was able to race, would sit second.
Yeah,
Van Vleuten probably third.
Yeah,
I'd go all Dutch.
Would you?
Yeah, Voss, Van Vleuten, and Vollering.
Voss, Van Vleuten, Vollering. You just pick a VVV.
Yep.
Yeah, three V's.
Kind of rolls off your tongue.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does.
We got the triple V going on.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to watch. And I. By the way, where is it available on USA? On U.S. streaming?
I don't know. So
ever
I found
since
on YouTube, they were doing, GCN was doing a YouTube, at least with the time trial live. I couldn't find it like after, but they, and I don't know if they can do that for the road. Wow. But if you look on YouTube under GCN and Worlds, then I think you'll be able to find it. Because I'm like, what the heck is it doing on YouTube?
Peacock's so not crazy. Carrying it?
I have no idea. Thing? And UCI has a YouTube channel also. Unless you have a VPN.
That's the game.
That's the secret.
That's the game changer.
Yeah.
With the VPNs, it's on GCN.
To be able to log, I always feel like I'm GCN keeps asking me to give a username, and I won't fill it in because I think they're going to catch me. I think I'm doing something wrong.
It's a completely legal thing, but it does feel illegal.
But I always feel for it. It's not like a black web or something.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it feels like that way.
I'm a horrible person.
Do you have like Russian women looking for a husband type thing pop up like the old days? Like, Not so much. I used to go on there and it's like, oh crap, I got to get out of here. And the X to get out of it is like dancing all over and your chick taking it. Dang, I got to get it. And get all this.
Pop ups are coming up. Yeah. You're just like, oh no.
Slowly but surely, your mouse is moving even slower.
Yeah.
It's not that.
No, I just feel like I'm doing
those
something
days are
wrong.
Gone.
I haven't filled it in. I haven't filled in the user ID yet, just because they're like, that fucker's in America. Cut him off.
Yeah.
Because the VPN thing has changed. NordVPN is the company I use. Not an endorser of this.
Now I do have. I know people complain that it is slower, and every once in a while I do get
it
pixeling.
Slower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is slower.
But
yeah.
At least I get it.
Yeah.
And if you came from my day when you're in the dark web.
Yeah.
And you would just like freeze. Yeah, I got the voice. I know what's happening. All of a sudden, you just, there's so and so, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Especially in the final 200 meters.
Yeah. It would always fail in the 200 meters.
Yeah. Or I appreciate all that my friends at the streaming service. Based in America. We all know the names.
We all know what they try.
3123
Flow bikes.
Yeah. They've tried their best. And you know what? I can't.
Are they carrying worlds? Maybe they are.
I bet they people would be.
Yeah. They might.
Because they did last year.
I appreciate what they're trying to do. I just, you know, when I have a fucking Little Caesars pizza ad coming up with 200 meters to go, it's just like, you guys got to time this shit. You guys got to plan your platform a little bit better. Keep doing it, guys, but just do it a little better.
Yeah.
Says the guy who sometimes plays the theme music on the monitor in the background. You know, I'm trying to do it better, and I want them to do better, because I'd love to have a all U.S. boom.
I got it.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
that guy that always flips you shit about your production?
Yeah.
He's from Flow Bikes. He's paying
be.
You back.
I don't even
right
know
there.
Who the fucking guy is. I've searched him out, and I'm just like, who the fuck is this guy? He's not from our local group. And it's just like, who is this guy?
He's from Flow Bikes.
He busts my balls. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess
because
that's
you
okay.
flip them crap.
I guess that's it. That's fair.
Yeah.
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 All comes back around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Throw shit at the fans, see who it sticks to.
Yeah.
I just made that up. I don't think that means anything.
No, it doesn't.
But it kind of works, I guess, you know?
Okay.
If I'm going to throw shit, it's going to blow back at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're really getting technical into the how you throw a handful of shit, that's how it's going to work.
That's right.
All right. Last thing before I finish, out of nowhere, now we already did the long shots. I picked Peter Sagan, for fuck's sake. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Best piece of equipment you guys had that you were completely enamored with this entire year. If there was one piece of equipment you lived off of this year, what would it be?
I would say the brand new, not because...
Yeah.
But the brand new Wahoo Element Bolt.
That's
it's a game changer, and I didn't realize how big of a game changer it would be.
Really? How so?
I think it's a clear screen. Yep, there it is. I think it's a clear screen for my eyes. And then also, I didn't realize how beneficial a colored screen would be when navigating trails. But it really does make a large difference. And I didn't realize how big of a difference it would make, but it really does. And the navigation systems, no matter what app you go through, it will give you turn by turn and it will say it out loud. As with before the regular Wahoo, if you were using Strava, you had to make sure you knew where everything was or you were watching your computer. With this one, it just tells you every turn, which is very, very nice.
Okay.
I really enjoy it.
Paul, you got one?
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a big thing. It was, you know, was a Wahoo again, getting off of Zwift and having another alternative, different platform that, you know, doing the 4DP tests and stuff.
Yeah.
And then having them set up a program, so not just riding, but you know, a little bit of yoga, some you know, stability or any workouts, you know, core workouts and stuff. So it's certainly going to make it a lot easier for me. That's more my style of indoor training as opposed to chasing cartoons. So
mine would be two things. My Sonic parts cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Have you used it yet?
Oh, fuck. I've used the shit out of it.
Right on.
I promise I'm cleaning my bike, man.
Okay.
I promise.
Use it for me, too.
Yeah.
All right.
I love it. I come down here. I turn on music, and I just enter it. into this just zone. It's like, wow.
What else can I put in here?
Yeah.
And so I putting your hand in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at my nails. They're so clean and polished. Yeah.
I put a submersible watch in it the other day, and I killed it. Oh. I killed the watch.
Huh. Man. The vibration.
Yeah, the vibration must have got the juice into it, and it just nuked it. And I'm sad about that.
Don't tell Galloway that. He's going to jack you
up
the head.
No, I think I took a picture of it. All the watches beforehand, I didn't show him the dead one.
Yeah,
he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
And the other one are these fucking headphones, these Aftershock headphones, which are ear induction. And when I'm not riding with you guys, I hate riding
those
with
big
headphones
things
on.
Right there?
No, the little red things.
Oh, these, all right. Oh, gotcha.
These are awesome. You wear them behind your ears, and they vibrate the bones in your eardrums, and you can hear traffic and still listen to your music while you're riding. And I freaking love them. I've always been terrified of riding with headphones on, ever since probably, well, all through my junior years and all through my college years, I rode with headphones and just flipping cassettes, you know, and stuff like that. Sometimes I'd take my jersey to be full of cassettes. I'm old. I'm really fucking old.
That's why you don't eat any food. You're used to it being cassettes.
I'm used to music, taking music and just dying. Yeah. But these things are great. I love them. And they're so much fun to listen to. And you can take calls on them if you want to.
Wow.
But I don't take calls because I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah,
there we go. World Championships this weekend, you guys. Make your picks. Send them to us if you want to. If not, just sit in your private cubicle and suffer in silence. Fine, fuck you. And then we'll go from there, you guys. Next week, I got two shows coming your way. Tease, hint, wink, wink. And we'll see what happens there. So Paul and Jackson, thanks you guys for being here with me.
Thank you.
And Jack, finish that fucking house. And Sam, stop getting COVID.
There it is.
Talk to you guys later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.